Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fire Team Chad, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us. CJ is joining me today.
How's it going?
As well as Sean Finnegan.
Hello, everyone.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah, nice to have you back also, CJ.
Thanks.
There is obviously a ton of content. If you are a Destiny fan, you know today is a big day because the Game Informer article is out. They have tons of info. We're going to get right into it. And the big thing that everybody's talking about, there's a lot of speculation, but there is one pretty concrete detail, and that is artifacts. And we want to ask you, and we're going to discuss which artifacts we are going to go for first, or we hope to get access to first. So the way the new artifact system is going to work is there are 8 class-agnostic special artifacts now, or with the release of Rise of Iron, and you're going to be able to acquire these from Tyre Karn. She's the new Cryptarch.
Great job, Destiny.
Whatever.
Great job.
Tyre Karn. She's the new Cryptarch at Fellwinter, and it's going to be a weekly bounty where you can get Iron Lord's legacy token that can be turned in to buy one of her 3 available artifacts this week. So it'll take at least 3 weeks, unless it's randomized, to get all 8 artifacts that we know about. Now, those artifacts are Memory of Radagast, which adds a reflect ability to sword-heavy weapons. You can reflect a rocket or Ogre's Blast or other supers like Nova Bomb or Hammers with a sword. That one's really, really intriguing. Cool. It's going to change multiplayer drastically. How it works will be interesting. Memory of Perun. Guardians with full supers are highlighted yellow, and low-health guardians are highlighted red if you have that artifact equipped. Memory of Jolder eliminates sprint cooldown. That should just be a thing in the game, but whatever.
So
I'll just have that one equipped, like when I'm doing anything else where I don't need one of the artifacts. Memory of Silmar reduces any damage over time effect, like the one from Thorn Year 3. Thorn is coming back.
Question is, is there any other dots besides, like, I know the fire... what's the Kirby's Warlock grenade that does damage over time?
Yeah.
There's that, and there's also...
There's a Hunter
also
one also
melee?
That poisons you, sort of.
Yeah, and I think there's a... I should know this because I'm a Titan, but one of the Titan Sunbreaker melees I also think burns you over time.
Yeah. Hunter Blade burns.
Yeah,
over any, time. All there those are reduced.
It's to combat Thorn.
Got it.
Pretty much that.
Yeah. So
to Thorn.
Yes. Memory of Fellwinter. This one's really interesting also. You lose your super, but you gain an extra grenade and melee charge, a boost to your stats, and orbs recharge grenades and melees. So this doesn't triple stack. So if you have Armamentarium, you don't get 3 grenades.
That sucks.
But you can ditch your Armamentarium. You have double punches. You have double grenades. And then you can put on a different helmet. It's going to let you mess with your build.
That's cool.
Totally. And we were actually talking about this a little bit before the show the other day, me and CJ. But he was like, why would he didn't think that this would be good.
Yeah.
Or he thought he couldn't understand. You couldn't understand why it might be good. And I was saying, listen, man, I think it actually offers you flexibility, right? Like, there are a lot of people out there who, let's say, to use the example of hunters, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a hunter in PvE, you run Night Stalker because Gunslinger and Blade Dancer are not, they're not very good in terms of PvE functionality and utility, right? But using this artifact, those builds now become a little bit more viable because
more interesting.
Yeah, you're still becoming you. And what if that stat boost ends up being like 10% or 15% to your stats, like a significant stat boost where you're like kind of beefy? Mm-hmm. You get two melees and two grenades. Suddenly, those you're just getting more flexibility with your subclasses.
Yeah, it just depends on how your intellect, discipline, strength, loadout is characterized. I mean, I'm not saying it's not beneficial, but yeah, it'd be one of those ones that I probably wouldn't use. I wouldn't give up a super for it.
This one I also really like. Memory of Gellion. Detailed radar at all times, even when aiming primary weapons.
So here's the thing. That's the detailed thing where it like becomes 16 or 8 quadrants.
Yeah.
Double whatever the amount of default quadrants is in the radar.
Yeah.
That's detailed radar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I do like that.
I do, too.
I've long that helps complained me in about Destiny's radar.
That one helps me a lot in PvP, so that one will be interesting. Memory of Scory, speed up super recharge for all nearby allies, but you glow.
This is so good for PvE, though, is the thing. Like, I love that they're doing something. So when they first introduced artifacts, so by the way, if you're not actively playing Destiny, artifacts was something they introduced in the last patch, in the last big update. But and there was a lot of speculation as to what they would be, but what they ended up being was not all that much, right? Like a couple extra boosts to stats and like a minor sort of like killing minions of the darkness increases super energy type thing, like a minor upgrade in terms of what it does for your playstyle. But we had always talked about them doing something drastically different for the classes, and it looks like Bungie's taking a big step in that direction now, where like that artifact, whatever artifact you're choosing, you're making an active, conscious decision instead of just like, hey, this one has int and discipline on it.
Yeah.
So
let me add to that in just a second. We have one more to go over. Memory of Timur. Melee low-level enemies to have them join your side for 30 seconds.
This sounds crazy.
So, like, you can have a minion, basically, that will attack the bad guys, a low-level minion. And that's really interesting. You can punch him again to have him snap out of it and go back to normal or probably kill him.
Here's the question. Do you think you can mind control, possess more than one of these at a time?
That's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
Can you just run around mailing the shit out of everyone?
I think
like an army of like,
obviously,
Thrall or something.
They would have thought of that. I think it's like one. I think you get like one.
See, it bums me out because
it says plural though, low level enemies. So maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have like 900 Thrall though.
Oh, well, I'm not asking for 900 Thrall, but all I'm asking for is a little bit of clarity because here's the thing. Like Destiny, well, Bungie in particular has been not good about this with Destiny, where they're not clear on some of the verbiage for their abilities and stats and all that stuff where things should stack when they don't.
Well,
that kind of thing.
We're going to figure that out when Rise of Iron launches for
sure. Like, how did you know this double grenade thing doesn't stack with Armamentarium?
Because on the Game Informer podcast, they said it doesn't stack.
Yeah, but how do they know?
Because they played it.
Oh. Then it should say that it doesn't stack.
Fine.
You know I mean, this is all from the Game Informer article. So, I mean, they gave us the
basic information. I'm not talking about
Game Informer.
I'm talking about Bungie. Like, that should be written on the item. Like, this is not a stackable effect.
All this info is from Game Informer's article. So whatever information Game Informer has decided to convey, we don't know. Maybe it will say that when we actually get access to that product. So we can't slam them for something we don't know concretely.
All I'm saying is, historically,
we're playing a
Bungie
game of telephone.
Has not been good about communicating things that don't stack and stuff like that.
We're playing a game of telephone right now. Bungie told Game Informer who told us this thing. And there are a few blanks left open, but we will figure them out soon when Rise of Iron hits. So, which artifacts do I hope land first? That was the question that we were going to talk about during this segment. The ones that really interest me, Memories of Radagast. That's the one where you can reflect stuff with a heavy sword. Not so interested in Perun, the one that highlights enemies. Sprint cooldown. I'll probably just have that equipped a lot, so I don't have to worry about sprint cooldown when I'm playing like campaign stuff. Damage over time, the Silmar
campaign stuff. I feel like that's the least effective part to have it. Sprint cooldown bugs me the most in PvP.
Well, in PvP though, there's other ones like the detailed radar memories of Gellion that I'm really interested in.
Certainly not the best one.
The super one where you get two, like that. That's going to be really interesting. Speed up super recharge for nearby allies, but you glow. I mean, there's so much interest here. And during the Game Informer podcast, they did say that the reason that they're doing this is so that people can mess with their builds.
Yeah.
Basically. Right now, the artifacts just adds int and dis, or strength, if you stat that way. But this really opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. You're going to be, like, tweaking. You're going to have different build loadouts set for different types of gameplay that you use. And you're going to be switching between them. That's the only thing I worry about. I think it's going to be a pain if I hop into a multiplayer match with my ideal multiplayer loadout. I realize it doesn't work for this map, and I need to swap it out. That's going to be a little annoying.
Don't you already do that?
Well, so...
I do. I have, like, two totally different sets of gear for PvE and PvP. I feel like
I'm
that's
saying,
standard.
I'm saying map to map, I am going to be hopping in and changing my artifact along with my weapons. So I have to change my weapons now, and now I have one more thing that I have to change, which will be my artifact. And there's 8 of them. So that's basically every slot in my artifact thing, except for 2.
At least what's cool about this is that they're interchangeable between characters. Like,
yes.
If it had been like, hey, there's like 8 artifacts, and they're individual for each character, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
So that piece of the puzzle I do like. Because when you're at least, you know, switching back and forth and you're using apps, it's a non-issue.
Mm-hmm. You know? Definitely. So, which ones interest you guys and why? Out of all of them.
I mean, a lot of them do very interesting things. Like, I was even thinking this one, we haven't talked about it much at all because it doesn't, on the surface, sound great. Guardians with full supers are highlighted yellow. Low Guardians are highlighted red, memory of Perun.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good, like, how many times
think
do you turn the
trials.
Corner and you fight? Yeah. Exactly. Think about it in trials. Think about how many times you turn the corner and you're like, oh, I would have beat this guy, but he had a super,
yeah.
right? If I had known that, I would have just ran away. Like, that actually helps you. The more... This is like a memory gathering,
information gathering.
Information gathering artifact,
cool.
which in competitive modes like trials is the more information you have, the much better you're off, which I think is great. This is like if you have some guy sniping in the back, or not even sniping, but like with a Mita or something who's spotting these things and relaying that information to the team, you're at a big advantage. So I think that's a really cool one. I think what I'll probably run by myself, like in just regular old Crucible, is the detailed radar one, just because that's super. I mean, that's
I love that one. I spec my hunter for that loadout specifically. I use Mida often because of that perk.
Yep.
You know,
I'm foiled by the radar a lot in Destiny, which is why I would want to use that one.
Mm-hmm.
I can see. Pronounce the name for me.
Scory.
Scory. I can see the that one being a huge trials advantage one.
Yeah. So
you're rocking like close in a pack in trials
all, right.
all the time.
Max Int. Who's exactly. rocking Scory? Okay, you got Scory.
Yeah.
You'll
Who doesn't
us.
Run Max Int?
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, depends, I run Max Int. Some people run a strength build though.
Yeah.
With their Titans.
They're idiots. Yeah.
No, they're not because you pop that bubble. And you're basically invincible, and you just punch people, and they're
wombo
done.
Combo with hunters and grenades.
Yeah.
A lot of people who do strength build as well in those matches.
It takes you until the fourth round to get, with a strength build, it takes you until the fourth round of trials to get your super, even if you're killing people.
But yeah, unless you're...
It's
stupid. Well, you can do max in strength.
No, I know, but I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Armamentarium is just so good.
I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week. It's a combination of play style, and I think especially for those people who... are less aggressive hanging out, you know, to be either like the res guy or just playing a little bit more conservatively, that's definitely going to be a good perk or a good artifact.
It's a more support.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
But still, really, really cool.
Okay, so that was the topic I was most excited to talk about. Is there anything else you guys want to cover off on that?
I just wanted to, I had a quick question. These are the 8 ones that they revealed.
Yes, so there was one more in the Game Informer article, and it says, like, for those in the know, there are actually 2 members of the Iron Lords who aren't accounted for,
one of which is Lord
Saladin, who we don't know what happened.
These are all named after fallen Iron Lords.
Yes, and there are 2 that are still alive, Lord Saladin and another one whose name I can't remember at the moment. But we might get... an emblem or something, or not an emblem. What are these called again?
Artifacts.
Yeah, artifacts. Sorry. That relates to one of them. So that would be now that's all 9 artifact slots in your inventory if you're holding on to all of them.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be holding on to all of them, though.
Well,
you're
going to
have like 2 or 3 that you use all the time.
It will settle. It's like everything in Destiny. There's going to be a new meta that settles, and it's going to be like, all right, do you have the 3 artifacts that you need?
So my question is, do you think that these are going to be the only 8 that we see?
I think we'll see one more maybe after you complete the campaign.
And it's definitely something that they can add this into it later. Like, it's really cool if you think about the fact that, you know, there initially were no ghosts, and then they added those little details like, oh, find spin metal or warm spore easier. This is just another piece of the puzzle that they can add at any time. When they kind of see, hey, you know, this is kind of maybe one of those little pieces of the puzzle that somebody from the community thought was a good idea even, and we'll add that in later.
So. Speaking of ghosts, wouldn't we love to see them do something similar to this with ghosts?
I mean, just side note. Yeah, it felt it did feel especially like the artifact, you know, area right now was just another way for them to get you in a piece of the puzzle where you just didn't hit 335. Like, that is the one thing that I actually do not have of 335. It's like 330, I think, or 334. So hopefully it's just not one of those things. You know, you're trying, you know, they're just releasing them at different times and, oh, you happen to miss this week that this thing was out, and then you're waiting like another month or something like that. So
let's talk about other pieces of gear while you're kind of on that topic. So we know there's new armor sets, weapons, and rewards coming. Archon's Forge, the new cooperative area where you can fight a bunch of enemies. It lasts 5 minutes and ends with a big boss fight. That is going to have its own armor set. All new faction armor sets, all new Iron Banner armor sets. Iron Banner, by the way, is getting revamped, and the first mode is going to be Supremacy, which is basically kill confirm, CJ.
That's right.
So, also, new raid armor.
Kill confirm being a Call of Duty thing.
Yes.
For those not in the know.
Modern Warfare 3.
Most
Clueless
popular
in CJ,
in
what is... Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Hold on.
What is kill confirm?
I'll explain in a second. There's also raid armor and Iron Lord's armor, and that's just what we know about right now. There's also going to be a record book, which is how you earn some of the gear. But... to answer your question, Sean, it's basically kill confirmed. You kill somebody and they drop a token of some sort. That's what it was in Call of Duty.
Yeah, so in Modern Warfare 3, that's when they brought it out. There were dog tags. So basically, in the game, everybody has a set of dog tags. When you kill somebody, I can get your dog tags, and that gives me a point. If you kill me on your screen, my teammates see that I've died and that I've dropped a dog tag.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rush over and potentially... regain that tag, so the enemy that killed you doesn't get it. So it's a combination of it's still kind of kill based, but it's more about the collecting or the defending of it. So but it's a really good game type. It was actually one of my favorite game types that they implemented in Modern Warfare series after hardcore and
Deathmatch. So you get points for killing someone, and then additional points for retrieving their dog tag after you kill them, but you can be denied those tags if their teammates grab the tag
first.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so then no points for you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of, depending on how they do, you know, the point calculation of it, you know, it could be one of those things. It might affect maybe how much super you get too. I think that's going to be the cool thing with the variable. It's like, if you're getting dog tags...
You're guessing. You don't know.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I don't know. But the way... That would be a very cool element. So there's
when you die, you drop an orb.
That's what happens. If I get killed, you drop an orb like an engram, sort of like this, and you have to run over and pick it up. There's red and blue ones depending on what team you're on.
When I said orb, though, I meant specifically orbs.
Oh yeah, to generate.
Oh okay.
So it's generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be OP.
I mean, who knows? There might be like the way Angel of Mercy is as like a helmet. When you revive your teammate, you get a little extra super. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something to that effect. So there's an incentive for you to actually get those pieces of the puzzle.
It won't be an orb. And then you would just kill yourself over and over again to get your teammates' orbs.
So about that and armor, Iron Banner's first mode is going to be the Supremacy mode. Also, Iron Banner's getting overhauled. There's so many details to go over, jumping all over a little bit. Thank you for keeping up with me.
Read the Game Informer article if you haven't already.
Yes, definitely. Iron Banner's getting overhauled. It's going to have a new bounty and progression system. Getting to rank 5 is easier. There's no more buff. There's still an alt buff, but you don't have to wear class item shaders or emblems to get bigger rep gains.
That's a bummer. I kind of liked that about Iron Banner.
But
now everybody's going to look different. Yeah. It ended up like everybody looked exactly the same
when
you went
cool,
Iron
though.
Banner.
That's cool, though. It's like everyone's like, it's Iron Banner week. Everyone's wearing their Iron Banner gear. We're all fighting Iron Banner. Rolling like, I thought it was cool.
All the emblems.
What really interests me is completing a bounty now immediately gets you an Iron Banner equipment or weapon reward. So I kind of like that. I kind of like that they're like, okay, do the bounties. Not only are you going to get experience points from them, but that's also how you acquire your gear, basically. So the reward screen, you get gear by completing bounties, and you get gear by hitting rank 5. I like that.
Yep.
I like that. We'll see how it goes in when it actually happens. I'm very curious to see how Supremacy does in a mode like Iron Banner. That's going to be interesting. But Sean, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. You were talking about trials and how you really want a way to distinguish, okay, that guy went 9-0, and I can tell because this, that, and the other thing. Not just like the name of their armor being different.
Or adept being in parentheses on their weapon.
Exactly. So now there's ornamentation. It's a new customization option that's going to allow you to stand out from other guardians. It's not just color like chroma. It's geometric changes like big shoulder pads, or you can get a fur trim. Those were examples that were given in the article. Hmm. So trials specifically, if you go 9-0, you go flawless, you're going to get certain ornaments that nobody else is going to have access to.
That is very cool.
So that is exactly what we were saying we wanted, which is great. You're also going to be able to acquire some ornaments from Radiant Treasure Boxes. Treasure Boxes, does that sound familiar to you? Microtransactions.
Like sterling treasures?
Yeah. So you can earn those, or you can buy a bunch of them, and there are going to be people with certain types of ornamentation that basically they purchase by buying a bunch of those. Or earned. Yeah. Same idea. But I really like this idea. You can apply the ornament per armor piece. So you need to apply 4 ornaments to cover all 4 armor pieces. There will probably be more gears and weapons that ornaments work on, but that's all that's confirmed so far. I'm assuming you can use them on raid weapons, too. That's what I have written down.
I mean, the ornament stuff sounds really cool. Like, anytime Destiny is, I mean, it's a hybrid, right? It's a shooter and it's an RPG.
Talk about artifacts.
And I think that one of the coolest things about the RPG element is, like, who was it who was saying this in the office? Someone said it's like playing with dolls for guys. Well, not just for guys, but it's like for gamers.
We had a Titan in here.
It's like, you know, that's what you do, is like you collect all this stuff, you level up, you shoot stuff. But what you do by earning these rewards is you dress up your doll and you look it on your character screen and you're like, I look awesome.
I fiddle with my character all the time. It is doll dress up for
It really is. Like, for fun, maybe it was Fran online, who says that, because Fran is the worst.
Fran goes to the tower and spends 10 minutes. I can't play with that guy sometimes.
Fran has a tower casual outfit. Yes, yes. An outfit that he wears.
Hold up. I got to equip my tower casual outfit really quick. Like, just give me a second. It's like, Frank, come on.
That's the most ridiculous thing I might have ever heard.
But he's not the only one.
That's exactly the point, right? It's like, the more customization you introduce to this game, the more interest you actually generate for people like that who are so meticulous about their outfits.
I imagine Fran like going to the tower and like, hey, how you doing? What's up? Notice my matching outfit with a specific chroma. Fran, they can't hear you.
Or he's just one of those players who walks around slowly on the same route, just like in that nice outfit, waiting for someone to like start following.
Hey, Cryptarch, what's up? Hey, everybody at the Cryptarch. Maybe you're not in your menu and so checking out my sweet gear.
I mean, I feel like I'm like most people, where like I have a PvP set and a PvE set, and what I'm wearing, whatever, just depends on what I'm doing at that point.
I have a cobbled together disaster because it has max int dis, and like I can't get gear that has the specific numbers that I need and able to like piece together something that looks cool. It's very frustrating.
How is that possible?
I try and do different combinations of stuff, and I can like, I have this gear set that I really love the look of, but it's like max strength, but it doesn't have max ints, and like it just doesn't work out for max int dis.
Oh, see, like
frustrating for me.
I don't wear gear.
Because my Titan looks like a disaster.
I don't wear gear sets unless they're optimized, which is like, and if something doesn't bring me to exactly 300 disc and 300 int, then I don't wear it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's it. I'm wearing a set that brings me to max int disc, but it's like the Iron Banner helm, the raid arms for the Titan, the Prison of Elder legs, and like Armamentarium, and there I have max int disc. I look like a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
I might as well have Sparrow gear on, you know?
Yo, Sparrow gear looks cool,
Sparrow
though.
Sparrow gear is awesome.
You really do look like a racer.
Yeah,
like,
that was some
it's
of my favorite stuff. Like, the Hunter helmet is awesome, man. And I'm actually wearing it. I was not a huge Sparrow racing guy, but some of the gear that I currently wear is the Sparrow racing stuff. It actually looks really good.
Really, not Sparrow racing stuff?
Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
Reining it back in a little bit. Really briefly, we do have 4 new Crucible maps that we'll get to play on, at least on PlayStation. Three Universal. We got The Last Exit on Istar Sync Venus. It's like a subway station. Remember that subway station mission from the beginning of the game? Well, we're going to go back there and fight.
How many of these Crucible maps do you feel have vehicles on them?
They're all medium size, so none of these will.
Are vehicles just like a memory of Destiny? Will they ever bring
I've never
them back?
Gotten that moon map.
I know.
Since launch. So, like, they updated in year two. I'm like, I've never seen it again. What's it?
So,
first light?
There was a Reddit thread. There was a Reddit thread. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
let me go over the maps. Save your thought. Floating Gardens is a Vex shrine on Venus. Skyline is on Mars. The receiving area at Clovis Bray Research Facility. It looks like Buried City. And the PlayStation exclusive is called Icarus. It's a solar collection site on Mercury, and it's the coolest looking one. Sorry, Sean.
Great.
But it does look really
more
neat.
More platform exclusive stuff to alienate one huge part of the audience that paid the exact same amount.
Come
cool.
on over, Sean.
So you were talking. I've been playing on Xbox, by the way. It's very easy to get. I took a level 18 to 38 in like an 8-hour play session.
Oh, I'm not going to play on PS4.
No, I'm not saying to Switch. Anyway, you were saying about vehicles.
Do you think vehicles are just a memory of Destiny? Because there was a Reddit thread about this recently, but like some newbie Destiny player, or new to Destiny, not a newbie, he's playing PvP and stuff, but he got that map, that first light map with vehicles, the really, really big one on the
and
moon.
And nobody knew what to do.
And he goes,
and turrets.
He's like, when did they add this map? It's new. And everyone was like, this is an old
this
map.
This is the alpha and beta alpha map that everybody played.
So I guess it's still kind of in the rotation for some people.
Yeah.
Like, it does pop up from time to time if that Reddit thread is to be believed.
Oh, I believe him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I haven't played it.
I haven't played it in a long time.
But
it's awesome because when I did play it, I was a better sniper. Like, I don't know what it was. Year one Destiny, nobody sniped very often. It was like, kind of, okay, this is a sniper thing, but let's do the close-up supers and everything. Yeah. Now it's just
No, that's not true at all. I sniped all the time on First Light.
That's
it was
what I mean.
Behind the turret.
Yes.
Somebody would get in the turret, and you're like, all right, pop.
Boom.
All right, you're over there. And there was, like, that sniper wall on the back. I love First Light.
Yeah, there's not that kind of map in Destiny. There's like a couple lanes in Destiny in every map, but that was one of those maps that once you kind of got to the snipe game, you're like, yep, and you just kind of chilled at the back and you're waiting for people to spawn almost. That doesn't happen in that game often.
I felt like that was a decent control map. I don't know why they dished it from rotation to that point. Like,
well,
people
vehicles, they never got vehicles right.
People learned how to, they just nuke the vehicle. Oh, the vehicle's up, nuke.
That was the thing is like, well, so there was...
Oh, that dude's on a bike. Pop, he's done.
In beta, alpha, and, like, I guess the first few months of Destiny, vehicles were overpowered. And then they got nerfed so hard that they became underpowered, and then they just disappeared kind of forever. I find that really interesting because Bungie's the developer that nailed the trifecta in Halo which
2.
Is guns, grenades, and vehicles. All
and Halo
of them
1.
Work so well.
Yeah.
Like, and so well together. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine that they would have missed.
Every once in a while,
I get that.
I think it's a Mars map where you have pikes that you can grab. Mm-hmm. But
wait, in PvP?
Yeah. I think there's pikes and there's the tank. Yeah. It's the really long one, though, where B's like in the middle and there's the long lane with the two sniper paths.
It's,
I don't remember the name.
Yeah, it's not often, but it's weird because there's not many vehicles that really kind of influenced much of the campaign either. Mm-hmm. Like, it was moments where you had...
Dude, you're right. So, like, we keep saying this. We've said it how many times... I've said it specifically many times on this show, but, like, Destiny really needs to do something more with vehicles. Not even just in terms of PvP now, but, like, in terms of the raid, right? We want to talk about this new raid. What is it called? War of the Machine?
Yeah, War of the Machine. Let's go over what I have written down.
That sounds
really quick.
Super cool.
Oh, sorry, new raid. I have Wrath of the Machine... Players will be here's what Game Informer said. Players will be in for some surprises, and it continues the main story with its own arc. Raid hits September 23rd, Rise of Iron September 20th, described as a collision of a raid smashing shit into other shit. Takes place outdoors, and those areas can be seen while in patrol in the Plaguelands.
Which is super cool.
So, yeah, we saw the Death Zamboni, as they referred to it, and we've seen little pieces of it. We know there's, like, this big orb eye thing that it looks like you go into at one point. But that's everything we know about the raid. Fun fact... The raid, once it launches, the light level will be 400. Before that, 385. So you can go in 385 if you somehow hit that light level cap in the 3 days before the raid hits. And then the raid hits, and it'll be 400 after the new raid launches.
We'll probably be doing a live stream, right?
Yes. So core level is 40. I'm building a team, actually. So if you want to play with me, just hit me up on Twitter, at Destin Legarry, trying to build a really core team for the raid.
But if you want to play with good players, hit up Shot by Finnegan on Xbox.
Maybe we should build an Xbox team and a PlayStation team.
Oh, I'll put
That'd be
you put your squad together. I'll put my squad together, and we'll see who makes it first. We'll run two streams at the same time.
Well, let's figure it out. We have a bunch of planning.
Really cool, right?
Yeah. PlayStation team versus Xbox team.
And what does it mean when the PlayStation guys beat the Xbox guys?
Oh, you guys think you'll be my squad?
Means we got another. We got Destiny 2 of PlayStation
exclusives. What was the last thing that we just played? Taken King. My team was on pace with the Gathalion's team there for a good part of the raid.
This will be fun.
Until we got stuck on the ogre.
Yeah.
What's the ogre's name again?
So you did.
Golgoroth.
Golgoroth.
Yeah.
Until we got to that point.
I remember you were like, I couldn't figure out the orbs.
Yeah, we couldn't really figure it out. Yeah. We were kind of doing it right, but we weren't doing it right.
Got it. All right, so we'll talk more about that on another episode.
Yeah, but real quick about Wrath of the Machine. Yeah. If the raid does have significant chunks that take place outdoors, maybe there is a chance for vehicles to make a gameplay appearance, right? Like, I always thought, so in King's Fall, you have like the jump puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if one of those interludes between the bosses was like a sparrow race? Not a race where you race against other people, but like where you have to outrun something that's chasing you.
Like a Death Zamboni.
Yeah, or like, you know, the ground is falling out from underneath you. You have to, like in the last level of Halo 3.
Instead of a jumping puzzle, it's like, get to the pikes and go, otherwise this whole thing's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
That would be
super cool. Yeah. And like, stuff's falling out from underneath you, and you have to avoid driving into holes and stuff or getting shot. Like, I think
that could be really fun.
And it's weird that they haven't done anything like that yet. I mean, you know, not to spoil Halo 3, but the ending of that, a long time ago.
It's 10 years old.
Yeah, it's 10 years old. It had that element to it.
Not to spoil this 10-year-old game.
But it was awesome, and that moment was super cool.
Oh, my God. The last level of Halo 3
is
part of why I rate Halo 3 as, like, one of the best Halos out there.
It's really good. But it's weird that they haven't done that yet. And, I mean, they're even missing the whole aerial thing as well. I mean, that was one of those things. There's a lot of ground vehicles. For all the stuff that in Destiny moves in the sky, there's no aerial vehicles.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine, though? That would be such a huge, like, gameplay extension, air vehicles.
Yeah.
They don't even do vehicles, just regular ground vehicles right now.
Yeah, that's really... I mean, there's a possibility.
So I think I just decided to have a long episode today. We're just going to go over the rest of the news. We don't have a ton more to go over from my notes. But let's talk about the new and reimagined strikes and also the... I don't know.
A lot of notes.
Yeah, that open world mode where, like, you can fight people. Archon's Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
so Archon's
arena.
Forge is a new cooperative arena. It's 5 minutes long. Ends in a boss fight. But the reason I want to talk about that with Reimagined Strikes is, with the Reimagined Strikes, you're going to get one that's in the Plaguelands, takes place in a missile silo. They're redoing Devil's Lair. You're going to fight Sepix Perfected. And you're going to go back into the summoning pits that has... an abomination heist. And at the end of those, sometimes a skeleton key will drop. And then if you get that skeleton key, you can go into the strike with the gear that you want and open the treasure chest. And then you'll have a better chance at getting the piece of armor that you want.
Interesting.
They did that in year two, where if you do strikes, you have a chance to get cool stuff like a unique helmet or something from that strike. And that's something a lot of people like, so they're kind of improving on that. But in the social space, where you can do the Archon's Forge, which require SIVA offerings needed to trigger the encounter. So in that social space, the treasure chests will pop up, but they're mimic chests, similar to what we've seen in Dark Souls. So, like, you go and open them, and they poison you, basically, instead of giving you something good.
It
sounds awful. Haven't clarified how you'll know if they're good or bad, or like what you can do, or if you can at all. But those are a thing that are going to exist. And another thing that's going to exist is Calcified Fragments 2.0, aka Dormant SIVA Clusters. There's going to be fewer to collect, but there is a Calcified Fragment type thing.
The Archon's Forge stuff vaguely reminds me of Firefight, the Halo mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, one, the rounds are also 5 minutes in that, and it's wave-based, and it's like player versus AI.
I like it a lot. It's like Prison of Elders redefined, and I like it a lot.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is what I really hope it is actually just the old Firefight from Halo, like from ODST, right?
Yes. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. And another thing, it's in a social space, so like if you only have a small group, then other people can join your group and you can do it together.
That's cool.
That's what they're encouraging.
Yes.
They're saying it's a mix between Prison and Court of Oryx. So you can kind of go in, do this encounter, kill a boss, get your drop, and then get out.
I think that's what the public events were missing. Like, that was the piece of the puzzle where public events kind of had that element of it. Oh, that was neat, but you could never kind of
predict. They were also just too easy.
Yeah, they were too easy, and you just didn't know when they were happening, or you could, you know, there were apps, again, to, like, tell you, but you never could coordinate with people to actually do them. Like, I don't know how many times. I think there's still things within public events where I haven't killed the boss, and I need to. And trying to do that, it's like, ugh. It's rather too late. They're, you know, not enough people.
I mean, I've been playing so much Halo recently in Warzone Firefight. I think they've just 343 has really perfected it. If Bungie could bring something similar to that, their sandbox is already built better for it because of the whole. I mean, Destiny's as much a PvE game as it is a PvP game. Like, I think people would really gravitate towards an activity that rewards that sort of sustained. Like, we can keep this thing going because we're really good and we have really good teamwork and strategy against overwhelmingly or more increasingly difficult waves of AI enemies. I think that'd be super fun and super cool. Because like half of the fun in Destiny is just shooting stuff, right?
Yeah.
Give me
a
mode where I can, as long as I'm
shooting stuff,
good at shooting stuff, it doesn't
system.
End. You know, that'd be really cool.
Shooting stuff in the slot machine system. Real quick, we didn't talk about exotics at all. Exotic Warlock boots are coming. We know the Kvostov 7G OX AR. It's a fully customizable AR. You can have a high rate of fire or a reasonable rate of fire. There's a RoboCop-like sidearm gun and a SIVA-themed pulse rifle that blossoms out of seeking energy from a successful precision kill. And then Galahorn and Thorn are coming back with quest lines to get them, but we don't know if those are. Well, Thorn's probably an exotic. I don't know about Galahorn. We know is a legendary. So
what?
Galahorn's a legendary?
I thought so.
What?
No.
Is it an exotic weapon? Okay, maybe I'm not.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, let's assume I'm wrong on that one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, let's backpedal a little bit on that one.
If one of you guys want to Google that.
Weapon,
Wait, why did you? What made you say that, though?
I remembered reading that. Like, it hadn't been clarified whether it was an exotic or not.
Really?
If Galahorn is not an exotic,
it probably is.
Quit forever.
And the reason I thought of that is because, like, it's a pre-order exclusive. So we were talking a few episodes back. You guys are right. It's
the iron skin of it is a pre-order exclusive, right?
It's a quest where you build it. So, you get in. It's probably an exotic. You're right. Yeah. Sorry.
God,
sorry
so
for the misinformation there.
Exotic.
Good catch, you guys. Thank you for busting my balls on that one. Totally deserve it. So, that's all the info. I know this was a huge info dump episode, but there is one last thing that we want to go over on this show. And Sean and CJ, so we know Destiny 2 is hitting in 2017. There's a news article on IGN.com right now about that. Why don't you tell us, John?
Yeah, Jonathan Dornbush, our new news editor, wrote it up. But basically, Activision had an earnings call recently for quarter two, I believe it was. And on the call, they mentioned that most of Bungie is now working on Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. Which means, like, we can take it to mean that this Rise of Iron content drop is probably the last significant.
It's the bow on Destiny 1, basically.
Yeah, this is the swan song of Destiny, the first iteration of the game, right? So we can safely assume that we'll probably be getting smaller events like, you know, SRLs.
That's confirmed. We are getting SRL. We're getting like a new Halloween event.
Right.
That's confirmed.
And that stuff will probably
We're going to get new masks to take up more of our vault space.
Right. But that'll probably be all there is in terms of taking us through to Destiny 2, which hits sometime in 2017.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this. When do we see Destiny 2 hitting in 2017? Is this an early 2017, like a March or an April? Or is this like a holiday 2017?
I hope it's a summer release, but I also kind of hope they have enough time to make a
fucking
awesome game.
Here's a question.
Awesome
what was
game?
Destiny 1? When did that
I have
release?
To bleep the podcast for the first time. Anyway, so it released in September. That's why Rise of Iron is year 3.
Right.
So I think that Destiny 2 will launch in September, just to kind of keep with their release cycle. If they changed it up, maybe in August, but I would be surprised if they deviate from their very successful release schedule at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little bummed. I hope we never got the Cabal raid that we were all hoping for. So, like, is that just something we're going to get in Destiny 2?
Is that a list that never came to be?
So we were talking at lunch, CJ, and we want to be positive about Destiny 2. So what absolutely needs to be ported over. One thing, we know Bungie likes it, we know we like it, and that's the progression system.
Yes.
The current progression system where you get incremental light upgrades and like you level up by just shooting stuff, we really like that with Taken King. And moving forward, I think because Bungie likes it and the community likes it, we're going to see that in Destiny 2. What else? You guys, can you think of anything that needs to be in there that's so good that you're like, man, I hope that system is at least in Destiny 2.
I mean, we were talking about, yeah, what do they do? Do they completely kind of take the story in a, you know, maybe a past that is so far back it doesn't relate to anything in a way? Because, I mean, Grimoire-wise, you know, well, you have to read.
We know you're bringing your characters, right?
Yes.
So, Hunter, Warlock, Titan, let's assume that those are coming back. Maybe there's just different, you know, I can't remember. Somebody said one time, you know, what would you create, like, a different, like, you know, type of weapon, like, you know, like there's arc and solar.
This
maybe
isn't
venom for green, or there's
careful,
some kind of other.
Careful, CJ. Yeah, we're not talking about what we want. That'll be a different show.
Right.
We're talking about what needs to come from Destiny 1 into Destiny 2. The systems that we like so much.
I mean, not it's not a system, but just the gameplay, right? Like, the gameplay needs to stay consistent. Like,
agreed.
How it feels,
it feels
say,
really
yeah,
good.
How I,
yeah.
I've said this so many times, but the reason people love Destiny so much is because how it feels to run around, to jump, and to shoot things is so good and feels so natural and so precise, like, in terms of the way it works, right? And I think they need to not ruin that.
Not deviate too much.
Yeah, like, maybe, you know, the way Halo evolved over time into Halo 5, which is where it still feels, Halo 5 still feels so Halo, but now you can charge, and now you can dive bomb, and now you can do all these different thrusts, right? Like, whatever the natural evolution of Destiny's gameplay is, the gameplay itself can't really change all that much because the core of it is so perfect.
Totally agreed. CJ, you got something that you really liked about Destiny 1 that needs to be in Destiny 2? I mean, have one if you don't.
Okay, yeah. I will say this, that the community is, it's kind of not a functionality of game, but I've never played another game like Destiny in the past 6 years. Like, I was a huge Halo 2 player. So just that interaction with the community. And the way that, you know, people feel responsible to, you know, introduce new people into raids and, you know, PvP and stuff. So I hope the community has that same kind of feel. And, you know, like dancing and emotes, like those gesturing type things. I hope that those things are all still
there. It's actually a really good suggestion because they have, like, stuff that's built into the game right now, like clan functionality, which is a good idea, but it doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they could expand on something like that and make clans something that, like, you and the players in your clan have better and more immediate access to one another for
the
events
IGN
and activities.
Clan or group has something like 100,000 members.
I think it's the biggest one out there.
It is. It's still
it's
the biggest one because I made it so early in the game.
Thanks.
Well, and you just have to call. No, you are.
I don't
you
have
liar.
The tag. No,
you
I
don't?
Have, no, I don't.
Oh, we got to coordinate and make
we'll
sure
talk.
You get that. But I can only let 25 people in on PlayStation and 25 people in on Xbox to get the tag. And this is silly. Like, I want, like, IGN
Mass
everything
flood.
To be out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say,
it's, like, super special. If you have that IGN tag, you played with me, basically, because I'm the only one that can activate it.
I have a tag.
So, yeah.
Missed it.
I made Destin
Missed
give
it.
Me the tag.
Yeah. Yeah. Community, progression, and core shooting. What do you guys think needs to be in Destiny 2? I definitely think Trials and Iron Banner need to be elevated in Destiny 2 and in that game. But we want to hear what you think.
Firefight.
Let us know in the comments. Firefight would be fantastic. Let us know more of your thoughts of stuff that exists in Destiny 1 that needs to be in Destiny 2. This is a huge info dump episode. Are there any final thoughts? Are you guys excited for Rise of Iron?
Very, man. I have not been playing Destiny much at all recently. I've just been playing so much Halo. But, like, I've been watching with a very, very close eye all this information that's being dropped about Destiny. Because, honestly, like, I really love Destiny, and I want to have a reason to play it more so that the fact that this is right around the corner now, right, you know, is...
about a month away.
Yeah, is very exciting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm stoked. I mean, I've played a bunch of people in the community, you know, who add me on PlayStation. Yeah, and it's good. I think that this is, again, just going to, you know, bring those people who strayed back a little bit. And, yeah, hopefully there's other little details. I know we're just talking about this for the September, but, you know, Bungie's really good at, you know, Sparrow Racing came out of nowhere.
Yep.
Like, that's just a complete new
and
game
it was
type.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, that they just created. So from that standpoint, oh, and the last thing we didn't talk about is What's the other game mode? Is it customs?
It's customs.
I mean, it has
They're revealing
be.
It at Gamescom. It has to be
at
custom.
At this point,
games.
If it's not, it's going to be like, oh. Like, yeah. I mean, and obviously, if that happens, yeah, that's going to be a nice, tight little bow on the end of year one.
Crucible's tied up. So. Single player's tied up.
Yeah.
For me, Rise of Iron is bittersweet. Yes, I'm excited about it, but if this is truly the bow that they're putting on Destiny Year 1, that is 3 years of my life.
Gone.
I've been playing I've been playing Destiny a lot for the last 2 years, and we're going into year three, and that part of my life is ending, and Destiny 2 will start.
How many birthdays have you squandered
playing
this game?
Many. Yeah. So it is a little bittersweet that we're moving into a new generation of Destiny, but also exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking towards the future. I tend to be a nostalgic person.
Yeah.
But you know, well, I think we had a great time playing the game, right? Yeah. Like, I don't feel like it's wasted at all.
No. It's really cool that for a lot of IPs that get updated yearly, I've always been a fan of, like, not fragmenting the install base. So I love the fact that Destiny has had legs for so many years.
Yeah.
That's something that doesn't happen very often. And, yeah, it's been great playing and meeting everybody.
You know, one thing I should tell you shouldn't continue into Destiny Year 2.
Well, I was trying to remain positive. But if you really want to say it.
Platform-exclusive content. I would love to see that just go away.
Yeah, that would
parity
be
parity
nice.
Between consoles.
I agree.
And potentially maybe PC.
Guys, we need to wrap it up. That's a good point,
Sean.
He
wants Zen Meteor.
Zen Meteor.
Real bad.
We do need to wrap it up, guys. Don't forget, you can subscribe to IGN's Fireteam Chat channel on YouTube. You can download the IGN app on iOS, PS4, and Xbox One. And you can follow my adventures, actually, on twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel. And I'm actually streaming to the Fireteam Chat channel once in a while now also.
Hooray.
I did a test last night. Fran also streams there once in a while. And just hit up that YouTube channel, youtube.com/fireteamchat. That is a great spot to find everything in one boat up location.
Yeah. Boat up. That's your theme for this. Yeah.
It's like a boat. It's like a present. You open it, you play
but that's not a
800,
verb.
900 hours.
I mean, I guess it's a verb now that you made it one.
Yeah. I have fun with the English.
Boat up. That's the new thing.
But it's been great. Yeah, a bunch of people added me on PS4 again.
Yeah.
Gibson Films on Twitter and The Video Guy with underscores in between. And yeah, it's been great playing with a bunch of people, you know, for Trials and Iron Banner and all those game types last few weeks.
And you'll be back for year two.
I'll be back.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
So anything you want to plug before we head
out? Yeah, just add me or follow me on Twitter, @ShotByFinnegan. Every once in a while, I'll put out call outs to play Destiny or Halo.
Yeah, like for your raid team.
Yeah, which will be happening. I'm no joke going to make this happen. Your squad versus my squad. This will
be great.
And I think your squad's going to have CJ and Fran and stuff.
Nope.
So,
oh, I see. All right.
But yeah, add me up over there. Send me a friend request and a message on Xbox Live if you want to party up. Note, though, I get pretty sweaty in Halo. I'm a real tryhard. So I'm not going to say you have to be this good to play with me. I'm just going to imply it.
Yeah. He's just be like, yeah, you didn't make the team. Why? Just I got a full crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you. I'm not like, and I'm not that good. Like, I'm not. Yeah.
I'll play with anybody.
There you go.
There you go.
I'll play with anybody, but raids are serious business.
Yeah.
I want to win, and I want a team that I gel with that can communicate and take it seriously and get it done.
For two years, I sat next to Destin while he played Destiny and listened to him while he was raiding, and Destin gets real angry if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So
I'm like, why are you over there? That's nowhere near where you need to be. You're just supposed to be sniping.
Destin's raiding
one
again.
One of my favorite year one memories of Destiny was listening to Destin like try to reason with his team. He was so frustrated and dejected. Like he wasn't even angry at this point. He was just like, guys, he was facepalming. He was like, I'm so tired. Can you please just do what you're supposed to be doing? It's so simple. And he was like imploring them to be better. And I was like, this is the greatest thing. This is so funny.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to raid with me, hit me up on Twitter at Destin Legarry. We're going to end the show there. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Out. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.